Right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing some songs. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for each of the heads that are bowed in your presence. And Lord, we pray you for those that aren't here for whatever the reason. Pray you too, Lord, for our brother and our sister churches that are across the land and across the world. And I pray, Lord, please, for your good hand upon all of those that are preparing to lead or to listen, Father, for your will to be done and for people to stand up and be counted, even if it's only in our own lives. Please help us this morning. Please be one of our number. Please, I pray you too, for the people in Russia that lost their lives with that terrorist attack, for the fighting in Ukraine and the fighting in Israel. Please bless and keep and guide Israel, Lord, we pray. We love you and thank you. And pray the Lord that this service would be acceptable in your sight. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Norman, I should have asked you beforehand, are you reading this one? Amen. Let's go for that. We are going to start with 315, 315. This is a little hymn called Take My Life and Let It Be. 315 in the big books, as the other ones only go up to about 80, I think. But amen. We'll remain seated as we sing this old hymn.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms upon me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance.
Norman, you come on ahead and go ahead and bring us that Bible again.
This morning's reading is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin may be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve him. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but then in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of wrong righteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God. as those that are alive from the dead and remember the sentence of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we be not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, the servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servant of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart and from the doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, whereas ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now ye yield your members servants to righteousness and holiness. For when we were servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things thereof? Ye are not ashamed, for the end of those things is death. But now be made free from sin, and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good verses, thank you. Romans is an excellent chapter of God's Word and well worth the time spent on it. Yeah. Just want to remind everybody about the little green prayer list. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to this prayer list? Now, there'll be a new one printed, Lord willing, for next Sunday. Might be brown in honour of Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies and things like that, but I doubt it. Light beans, that would work. Has anybody got any prayer requests that they would like added to this?
Just a reminder of that next Sunday.
Next Sunday, in about an hour's time from now, we will be finishing the service and stepping into the kitchen for Sunday lunch. Easter Sunday lunch, there will be turkey, lamb, spuds, veg, pie, all that good stuff, with tea and or coffee, depending on the cake. Black Forest Gâteau, a whole bunch of stuff. I stopped getting healthy after we finished with the lamb and the turkey, but it certainly tastes good. So that will be after the service next Sunday, and then after the lunch we will be having a short afternoon service, and then we will say happy Easter to everybody. Don't eat too many chocolate things, and bid you good day for a day or two. I think there's is there 2 weeks of holidays that kick off from that, or is that 1 week of holidays? 1 week? But anyway, so that's what the form is for next Sunday. We pray you please, you're very, very welcome. And if you have any friends that want to come along, that are coming along, let us know so that we can put an extra seat around the table. It's not going to be the round table in Bethel, it'll be the vaguely square, possibly oblong table in next door. So, I think we have upwards of about 14 or so people that are hoping to be there. And speaking of people being there, please pray for Will. He rang to tell me that he wasn't feeling well this morning. Haven't heard from Pat and Steve. Pray also for John at the back, and John's Catherine as well, and Frank. Frank is just in the process of making big decisions for adult life, so please pray for him too. I am just looking at the private prayer requests to everybody here. 1, 2, private prayer requests. Yeah, 1, 2, okie doke. Right. Lord willing as well, my dad will be down visiting at the next weekend, and will probably be here with us for a couple of weeks. I have a dentist appointment. I would pray for your, I would ask for your prayers for that. I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine. I just do not like, I like the dentist, he's a really nice guy, I just don't like the practice of dentistry around about that area of my body, so I'd appreciate your prayer. But on a slightly more serious note, I'm sure many of you have heard there was a terrorist attack in the middle of a theatre or an opera house or cinema in Moscow, and there were over 100 people were killed and 140, I think, were injured. So ask for your prayers for souls to be, lives to be saved and souls to be saved there. I'm sure that is an awful thing to be happening at this particular time. Please also pray for lives to be spared in Russia and Ukraine. In Israel as well, the Israeli-Gaza conflict, I heard a man say on TV that many people that start these wars want to get their licks in and then stop the war before their enemies start shooting back. And unfortunately, Gaza is learning the old lesson that Israel is God's people, they're blessed. There's only one other defeat in Israel's up-and-coming future, and that is whenever the Antichrist rises to power and they are commanded to flee into the hills. But in the meantime, we are commanded to pray for Israel. You pray for Israel, you bless them, God will bless you. If you curse them, God will curse you. So please continue to pray for that. And there have been murmurings of the introductions of the curtailing of free speech in Scotland. They are planning a very wide ranging. Now, Scotland is governed by, I think it's a Labour government, isn't it? A Scottish Nationalist Party, a Nazi party then. All but Labour. Well, not Labour would be the good side of that, but they are very, very restricted, very, very left wing. And they are for everything that's bad and against everything that's good, but the law that they're bringing in seemingly will to get you arrested for saying something that the government doesn't agree with in England, Northern Ireland, or even Wales as well, and that was from the 1st of April. So bear in mind, the whole world is slipping off into a very restrictive communist type of regime, and we need to be praying about it and maybe even speaking up about it and voting accordingly whenever it comes time to vote for our, in quotes, democratically elected leaders. And I do mean that in quotes. Anyway, a lot to pray about. Things are happening just like the Bible said they would. Please do be much in prayer. Amen. We'll have a quick word of prayer and then we'll sing another song or two. So let's bow our heads and then we will pray. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength that you've given us and for the freedoms that we still enjoy in this part of the world. I thank you, Lord, for all your many helps. I thank you, Lord, for being there for someone to talk to. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would grant our prayer requests according to your will, especially for the lives of those that were injured in Moscow, in Ukraine, and Israel. And I know there are many other conflicts in the world, but those are the ones that's hitting the news. And I pray you, Lord, for people that are involved in that, and all of those conflicts, Lord, and those souls that are in danger anywhere in the world, that they would seriously consider where it is they're going to be spending their time. Please save souls, Lord. We pray you, too, for absent brethren, that you would restore them to health and enable them to be here and to fellowship with us for next week's Sunday dinner. Lord, for things that's going on in our law courts, Father. I pray, please, Lord, that you would show yourself to be God still, even though we know a lot of these things are going to come to pass, and that even speaking the name of Jesus Christ will soon be a crime. But let us make the most of it in the meantime. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please be one of our number for the rest of the service. And we just love you and praise you, Lord. Amen. 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 Let's take our hymn books again, the big hymn books again this time, and turn to number 41. 41, that is Sweet By and By. I haven't sung this for a little while. I do like this one. Hope it is a help to you. Thank you very much. We are in 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning. If you would like to join me there, 2 Peter chapter 1. Way near the back of the Bible, not too far away from the book of Revelation. We are in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is inspired by a conversation, not just the Word of God, but a conversation that I had with my father-in-law and a couple of other folks that I have been speaking with over the past few weeks. And the title for the message is Don't Forget. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter, John, not John, John, 2 Peter, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. Amen. If you've been here a couple of years back, John, there would have been John and John and Will's dad John and then my dad John as well. And would you believe there are three Normans in and around the church? There's Norman, Norman whose parents used to live at the end of the road, and Norman that lives in the big bungalow across the dual carriageway, and all of whom I see days whenever I am out walking. It is just interesting the way those things happen. 2 Peter chapter 1, going to read, there's only 21 verses, we're going to read them all. And I want to give you a few thoughts on the subject of don't forget. The Word of God says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's my verse. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed commonly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Title for the message is Don't Forget. I'm taking a handful of verses from verse 5 through verse 7, the things that we shouldn't forget, and verse 8 through 14 or 15. Amen. We'll be having a look at those. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue on. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we stand before you now, Lord, or at least I do, and we all come before you, Lord, and pray that you would be one of our number as we take this time in your word. You have told us, Lord, that the Scriptures are inspired by you, and I pray you, Father, that you would make good on your promise this morning to help us to understand through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, I pray you, help us. Please be with other preachers that stand to bring the same or similar messages, Lord, that will be a help in either showing people where they're wrong or directing them down the right path, or just a little bit of praise, comfort, glory, or strength, Lord. We pray these things this morning. We love you and thank you. Lord, please don't be done with us. And Lord, be with our absent brethren. Please restore backsliders. Please, Lord, save lost souls. And Lord, we always want more brothers and sisters in heaven. Thank you for all of this, Lord. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As you may know, I am not a big one for following the church holidays, but I think this is Palm Sunday, isn't it? Yeah. Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday next weekend. I don't even know if we'll be preaching an Easter service next Sunday, but we will be having a service. But we shouldn't forget, even as we approach this Resurrection Sunday, 1 week from today, the things that God has done for us and the freedoms that benefit those around that love the Lord. We, in the West, we have laws that are, well, ever more loosely based upon the commandments that God laid down in the Bible, but we are still relatively free and benefiting from the teaching of the cross, from Patrick and the revivals that landed in the shores 100-something odd years ago that sent missionaries out across the world. We should never forget creation. We should never forget the creation of Israel either, or the preservation of it and the many prophecies that the Bible has. We should never forget, in case we think we are hard done by, that the Lord was born illegitimately. He was born of a virgin, not his father, his earthly father Joseph, but our heavenly father. And he was born amongst a persecuted and a downtrodden people. Israel was under the jackboot of Rome at the time. He was fatherless after 13. There is no mention of Joseph ever again. He had no money or belongings. He had only a few friends and a very short life, only about 30 years old. He did, however, demonstrate his true lineage, his true father, in his preaching, in the miracles that he did, in the prophecies that he fulfilled, in his knowledge and usage of the Scriptures, in his authority over everything except us. He was betrayed by those he trusted. He was abandoned by those he loved. He was beaten savagely and eventually executed by those he came to save. And in that one day, people have statement. And many doctors have given their accounts of what happens to the body in the course of crucifixion. Over a day of excruciating pain, not only did the Lord suffer that, but he suffered our sins being heaped upon him on the cross. He suffered separation from God, which at the end of all things, that is going to be the most, I'm trying to think of the right word, the most hurtful thing that is ever going to come across a soul, the endless ages of eternity with regret at not getting saved, separation from God and torment. And it doesn't have to be that way because, as we know, salvation is free through Jesus Christ. Anyway, he went through that for most of a day. And then he laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him. It wasn't the spear that killed Jesus Christ. The last words that the Lord gave us were, it is finished. And the Bible records he laid down his head and gave up the ghost. And that is why another Roman soldier was told to go and make sure he was dead. Back in the day, you didn't get a thing to put in your thumb or a stethoscope to check your heart. If you wanted to make sure someone was dead, you stuck a spear into their heart, and that's exactly what he did. 3 days later, after preaching to the souls in paradise and taking them up to heaven, he came back to this world again, just like he said he would. In a feat that no religious leader, no political leader, no king, no president has ever accomplished, coming back from the dead. He made good on his promise to take up his life again. And after 40 days, proving himself alive by many infallible proofs, he went alive up into heaven. And as everyone was standing up, you reckon it was a couple of angels said, "What are you doing looking up into the air? He's going to come back the same way that he left. Go and do as well." And for all that he did, he left for us the greatest gift that man will ever have, which is an eternal life in heaven with a body that will have no more aches and pains, no more tears or worries or fears, nothing except the will of God and our joy in carrying it out. Now, if you say those things quickly, it doesn't seem like very much. But there are many lessons in there. And this man changed the course of human history. He showed evil for what it was, and where it was ensconced, which is pretty much everywhere in the positions of power, in every position of power. He showed the necessity for preaching the gospel, and the difference it makes in the lives of those that accept. And he shows the depths to which those that hate it are prepared to stoop in order to stop it and continue feeling good. We should never forget those things. Now, our piece of scripture, it starts with Peter. That's that same Simon Peter that used to shoot from the hip. "I'll never betray you, Lord." And after the cock crowed 3 times, he had betrayed the Lord 3 times, just like Jesus said he would. He's the same Peter that wanted to call down fire on the towns that wouldn't accept him as they went on their missions journeys. He's the same Peter that had his sword out and the ear whipped off one of the scribes and the Pharisees' servants. This same Peter, as he draws to the close of his life, as he mentions here, gives us these things to remember as Christians. First of all, he introduces himself by telling us who he is and how it is he got there, not because he was a learned man, he was a fisherman, but he had knowledge of Jesus Christ, and more importantly, he was saved. He had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But he said, in order for you and I to progress in our Christian lives, God leaves the door open for us to grow, to improve ourselves. And in verse number 5 and 6 and 7, he gives a handful of things that we should look to add to our Christian lives. I'm going to tell you, it is good to be saved. And anybody that I know, including myself, that has ever just gotten saved, it seems like such a huge improvement in life and a feeling of relief in your heart, and we're not going by feelings, that you wonder how life could get any better. But it does. And these verses, these things that Peter mentions, are things that we should pursue. Remember, salvation is for free. Jesus paid it all on the cross. But if you want to get better at anything, whether it's painting or walking or bodybuilding or bricklaying or electricals or plumbing or computers or whatever it is, what do you got to do? You got to practice. You got to pursue the things that will enable you to get better. The first one that is mentioned here, it says giving all diligence. In other words, it's going to be a wee bit of work. He said, look for purity, look for virtue. We should strive to be virtuous. Now, I don't mean that we should walk around like that with our noses up in the air, looking down at everybody and thinking, those poor people know nothing. We shouldn't be like that. We should be ourselves, real Christians, on a mission from God. And that virtue, that purity, those Christian standards that God has already laid down in his word, we should strive to adopt them. Not in order to show off, but to show these many of these things for what they are. Take the perennial favorite, which is alcohol. Christians shouldn't drink. And that's just the long and short of it. A lot of people say, all things in moderation. But moderation doesn't mean a little bit of everything. It means control. I think they call a silencer on a rifle over here a moderator, because it reduces the bang by reducing the speed of the round. Moderation in Christian terms means to control yourself. We should control ourselves and restrict our behaviors to those that the Bible says are okay. Not to get saved, and let's be honest, if you were not saved, you would find it very, very difficult to do these things because you have no promise of a reward. The reason we adopt Christian standards is they're good for us, not just us, but those around us. And that is the reason why. And to please God, because he said, this is the way you should be. Sometimes it is very difficult to see why God wants us not to do drugs, or not to smoke, or not to drink, or not to get engaged in casual physical relationships, and not to take the Lord's name in vain. It can be difficult, especially if you've just dropped a brick on your toe, or something snapped back on your hand, or it seems like the whole world is coming against you, and all you want to do is let loose and curse everything. There is a reason. Many years ago, before Norman got his hands in the church and made it into the building that it is today, there were a few of us working on the back wall. We were replacing some of the plywood. And we were having to jimmy to put a crowbar in to prise the wood off of the outside wall. It was really, really difficult. And of course, when you're working with plywood on two by fours, there's a bit of strain. And I got smacked in the hand, and I went, whoa, shoot, that hurts. And there was another Christian man, he picked up a smack in his shins, and he just hopped about, ooh, ooh, ooh. And then there was a friend who had very kindly volunteered. He eventually got a bang and the air turned blue for a moment or two. And he noticed straight away, hey, I just noticed the difference between all three of us getting a smack from that wood. And that is not us saying, oh, look what we can do. That is, thank you, God, for enabling us to do that. It's Christian virtues will save your life. May will save your mind. May will save your family, or at least point them in the right direction. And in many cases, your health and your finances. It is whenever we choose to put the teachings of the Bible above the teachings of the world, that is Christian virtue. The next one the Word of God says we should pursue and not forget is knowledge. Just a knowledge of the Bible, learning about the Lord. What God likes, what God doesn't like. Even the history of Israel. So that whenever we have our anti-Christian government and their associated organizations coming out and telling us things, we can say, but the Bible doesn't say that. You are wrong. You are misrepresenting. Knowledge is a great tool, but it is only a tool. And you require wisdom to use it properly. How do you acquire knowledge? You study. It's the same in schools. It's the same in work for jobs. It's the same in every part of life. And if you really love the Lord that saved your soul, I would think you would want to know a little bit about him. And I guarantee you that the more that you learn about God, the more that you will want to learn about God. So read your Bible. That's why the Word of God encourages us to read the Bible. Norman, I think, was reading in Romans 1 last week. And there is an excellent verse in it that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Why would I not want the power of God in my life? Read the Bible. Spend time in prayer. Be constantly informed. After knowledge comes temperance. This is this little bit of self-control we were talking about. Many, many years ago, I think it might have been more in the States than over here, there was a movement called Temperance Movement, which was all against drinking and smoking and gambling. I think it was maybe around about the time of Al Capone and the likes of him. I just think Norman was talking about his Al Capone suit there this morning. His sister called that suit that he wore to a wedding his Al Capone suit. But temperance, that is most certainly self-control. But if we exert temperance, how do we know what we are to control ourselves against or for? But obviously, having read the Bible. Temperance is putting the reading of the Bible into effect in your life. Lord, I'm not going to use bad language. It shows a weakness. More than that, it's like me condemning somebody or committing murder in my heart when I curse at somebody or whenever I swear at something. And I use temperance when all of my friends say we're going out to the pub and then on to the club. We might get a snort of cocaine, or we might get a bit of skirt or something in trousers or something like that. The Christian is not supposed to say, well, I'm going to follow you because I value you as my friends. Christian is supposed to say, well, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. And every single one of those things you're going out to do, God says you shouldn't do. So I am going to control myself. I'm not even going to put myself into those situations. A lot of people say, but I have to do what makes me happy. You see that phrase along with, it's my truth. Those are two phrases guaranteed to get my goat out and take it for a very, very long walk. You will only ever feel happy over a job well done. whatever that job is. But you can have the joy of knowing that you are for heaven every day whenever you get saved. Temperance. Control yourself. That's what the Bible says. Control yourself. Here's another one. Patience. I remember hearing the story one day of a man that went into a coffee shop and he said, "I want a cup of coffee. How quickly can you make it?" And he said, "Well, if we take the fresh beans and grind them and percolate them, it'll take about 10 minutes. He says, "Have you anything quicker than that?" He says, "Well, we have already these ground beans that we just have to pour into the filter, and that'll only take 5 minutes. He says, "I'm thinking I need something faster than that." He says, "Well, we've got instant. It takes about a minute, and we just take a spoonful out of the jar and pour it into the hot water." And he says, "Have you got anything faster?" There are some things that just go at the time that they take. As a farmer has said, you don't plow, sow, and reap all in the one day. And we are to remember that things take time. I think it says back in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. The Bible says one man can sow and another man can reap, but in between those two, God gives the increase. And on a more personal level, it means if you're in a position of responsibility or of understanding or of knowledge and somebody else, you're trying to teach somebody something, sometimes you might have to do it 2 or 3 times. Almost like. Just like your teachers, just like your parents. Did you say thank you? "Oh, thank you, I forgot." And I am sure parents will be doing that for children for maybe 10 or 15 years, teaching them to say thank you until it eventually clicks. We need patience. If you remember the patience that God had for you in calling you, in opening your understanding, in presenting and putting maybe the same message on the preacher's mind every week over a period of months, so that one or other of us, or even the preacher, could get what the message was supposed to say. God has magnificent and long-standing patience for us, but it's not everlasting patience. If it was everlasting patience, the book of Revelation wouldn't be in the Bible. But God says there's a time when patience runs out, but we are to adopt a patient attitude. We want people to learn. We want people to be saved. We should be patient. Is anyone here a fish? You ever fish, John? No, Norman's a fisherman.
I would like to get back on it.
I used to do a bit of fishing too. Wouldn't it be great? Do you ever fish, Dr. Chan? Do you ever fish?
No.
I fish. It's a man-only thing. Ling, you never fish. Did you? Did you?
Oh.
Yeah. I got it by
grandfather. Everybody has fished it, except for Dr. Chan. Well, once. Once. I used to fish too. And it was, many times, it was throwing the weight and floating lure into the water and hoping that you would see it bobbing and that something would take it. The only place I ever threw a hook into the water and was able to pull it up straight away was fishing for mackerel. And seemingly they will eat anything they will put in their mouths. That's the only place. But generally speaking, you need a little bit of patience. God has had huge amounts for us. Whenever we are working on the Lord's side, sometimes that patience is demonstrated through us. And it can be frustrating, but remember what God did for you and do it for other people. Many of these things are not popular concepts in this day and age, and the next one I want to look at is godliness. The how and why and the power behind what we do and how we do it. To please God, we follow His commandments. It's a little bit like adopting God's standards. It's a little bit like knowledge, except it's putting it to use. Quoting what God says instead of what the world says. I'll give you a for example now, even in this one of the most conservative parts of the world. It is okay to kill your children. That is what the world says. It's okay to kill your children. And in certain parts of the world, it is okay to kill your elderly. And in certain parts of the world, it is okay to kill handicapped people. And in certain parts of the world, it is okay to kill people that are just having a hard time and just can't cope. The Bible says life is precious. That children are an heritage of the Lord. That we are to, the Bible says, to rise for the hoary head. If you have white hairs on your head, whenever someone that is older comes in, you are to be respectful for them. It says to honor your mother and father. And when we say, oh, just hold on a second, God has a different thing to say about that. That is you sticking to God's standards, God's teaching. Again, very difficult to do if you're not saved, if you don't have God in your heart, you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because why are you doing it then? You're not saved, you're not going to heaven, why should you live a godly life? Why should you adopt the standards of a man that you'll never see in the endless ages of eternity? But for those of us that are saved and have experienced God's love firsthand and understand the forgiveness of sins and the wiping clean of a slate, if that's what it took to save me, do you know what? I am going to live my life for God. I am going to do what He asks me to do. The way we act, the way we speak, the places we go, be godly about it. After that, we have brotherly kindness. And that is just being treating our brethren, other saved souls, like family. And I am not talking about the dysfunctional families that you see everywhere at the moment. I mean loving, respectful, kind. Look, the next one is kindness and charity. Brotherly kindness and charity. We ought to treat each other right. We ought to extend a hand of friendship or help or roll up our sleeves. Or if someone's in a bit of difficulty, help dig them out or give an ear to them for a bit. We ought to be like that for the brethren. It's going to be the closest relationship we have in the endless ages of eternity. It's not, you ever hear the old saying, blood is thicker than water? Well, Christ's blood is thicker than our blood. And He binds us all together through our Father in heaven, through His shed blood. We are, in all honesty, I have been away from my family for 35 years, give or take, 34 years. They live in Portadown, I live up here. I have pursued the Lord in the King James Bible and the Independent Baptist Church, they haven't. And they believe slightly different than me. And I feel closer to brothers and sisters in Christ in this church than I do to my own family. I still love my family, and I will help them where necessary, but we disagree on a lot of things, especially when it comes to God. So brotherly kindness is extending the love that we should have for our brothers and sisters to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And lastly, it talks about charity. Now, whenever we mention charity immediately, we think, oh, counterfeit. And it's going to a good cause. It's going to missions. So it's charitable. That's not what we're talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you have the love chapter of the Bible. And charity is giving sacrificial love. And it explains all the things the way love should behave. It's not proud, vaunteth not itself. You know what? Instead of me butchering it, why don't I read it right and quick? 1 Corinthians 13, there we go. This is what it says. Charity suffereth long and is kind. charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, in other words, pushes to the front, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Says charity never faileth. Prophecies will fail, tongues will fail, and this inspirational knowledge that put the Bible together, it's going to fail. It says everything will fail except for charity. That is sacrificial love. Not the love that says, oh, I love you, you can do whatever you want with me and with mine, but the love that says, I love you and I am going to do what's right. That is the most important. I came across a powerful example a number of years ago when a Christian family informed me that they couldn't be in church because they were babysitting the children, their grandchildren, because their children were going out drinking. And so they wouldn't be able to make it to church on a Sunday morning because they still had the children. And I said to them, space in the car, put them in it, and we'll all come to church. Charity is saying no. I have Sunday morning reserved for being in church. God saved me, and this is one of the very few things that I can do for him. I'm going to be in church. If your kids are still in the house whenever we leave, they're coming with us. And they will get to hear the gospel and how much Jesus loves them, and they'll hear about the dire warning that the Lord has if you ever turn one of those little children away from me. He said, I think that's where the mafia got the old concrete overcoats. The Lord said, it would be better for you if you have turned a little child away from Christ. It would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and dropped in the ocean. Does anyone remember what happened to that Titanic submarine that went down and it crushed? I think they said it only took about 1/1000 of a second quicker even than the people that were in the sub would even have realized something was wrong. Real Christian charity. Those aren't natural. How many times have we had to instruct little children? Say please. May I have some sweets? Please. Yes, you may have some sweets. I remember the number of times out there we'd come in with a bag of sweets and said to the kids, first person to put their hand up gets a bag of sweets. And all the wee hands would go up and you would pick one and says, right, there's your bag of sweets. But before you eat them, take them into the church and offer everybody a sweet and you can keep what's left. A little bit of patience, a little bit of kindness, a little bit of love. These all sound so simple whenever we talk about them in what, the half an hour that we've had here. Oh, I'll learn that. They say even the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance, against which there is no law. And you can say that in 5 seconds, 10 seconds max. Think, I have learned that. You may have learned the verse. It's like, does anyone ever play Othello? Or surround the one where you put the wee black and white counters down, and if you surround somebody else's counters, you have to flip them all over to your colour. They say, a minute to learn and a lifetime to master. That is what these things are, not something you do and then done. These are the Christian life. In our attempts to please the God that saved their soul, we are to pursue these. And it takes a while. Because we have physical appetites, we have mental and spiritual appetites. And in the same way, when the doctor says you need to cut down on your salt, and for the first week or two, your food tastes so bland, but you get used to it and start tasting the flavors of the food. So, as we turn from reading great wadges of the internet and our newspapers and whatever's on our phone to taking time to read the Word of God affects us differently. We miss the old and we're not sure about the new, but we have control over our lives. We can do what it is that's right, even if it hurts. These are all going to cost time and money, broken hearts, effort. They're even going to cost us opportunities in the world. And they don't come naturally. Doing what comes naturally is what's killing people. These are things that we need to learn and apply that lift us out of the muck and the mire of everyday life and free us from so much of the manufactured drama that's going on in our life. And this is for Christians. Now, the end of that little portion of Scripture says two things. It says, first of all, and I want to talk about me first. It says, that's my job. Peter said, it's up to me to remind you of these things. It is up to me not only to remind you, but demonstrate these things, to show them in my life. Elsewhere in the Gospels and in the New Testament, it says, that's what a good preacher does. He doesn't make new things up. He just reminds you of all of the old things that are in the book. But secondly, it says, if you don't, you'll be miserable. As a Christian, you'll be miserable because you will forget what God did for you. You will forget the prophecies that are in the Bible that I can see them coming true right now, but how many people are sitting in churches thinking, what are we going to do? I can see God's prophecy coming true. You might even forget that, hey, God promised you that whenever you stick your head up over the parapet, he'll protect you. Whenever you dare to stand up and speak, he will give you the words to speak. God said that many of the obstacles that hold so many people back and trip them up, they won't bother you, Christian, because you're not there. You'll be flying overhead like an eagle. Imagine forgetting all of the promises, all of the blessings, all of God's words of comfort to you. That would be crazy. I don't know about you, I've played a lot of video games in my life, probably for years. Literal years, if I was to put all the time together. Many times as I played, I would look up the cheat codes, because I couldn't be bothered putting the time into beating a certain level or to carrying out a certain job. So I had to put in God mode, where you couldn't be killed, and you never run out of ammunition, and you could just go through and enjoy the story. It's amazing, you're like Superman. Huge jumps, bombs, stand in the middle of bombs going off, and whenever they stop going off, you move on and not a scratch. I'm not saying you'll be indestructible whenever you live life with Christ. A whole lot of stuff is not going to bother you, and you will be walking with God. Imagine just being saved and having a vague notion of the many promises that God has for you, but your life just going down one dead end after another because you have forgotten and refused to go and remind yourself of all the helps that God has. It would be an awful life. In fact, I'm going to tell you what it's like. That's exactly what it's like. For the first, I think, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of my saved life, I knew I got saved, but I didn't know anything. I knew of none of God's promises, and I made mistake after mistake after mistake. And it's not pleasant because you end up wondering, what in the world is going on? I'm a child of the King of Kings, but things keep going wrong. And the answer is that I have forgotten, or indeed never knew the promises and helps that God has for his children. I know there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot of fear mongering. It's not going to stop anytime soon. There's a lot of organizations who most certainly don't have God at their head up to their shenanigans making life difficult. The tax man has his hand in your pocket. The price of food is going up. The price of fuel is going up. The price of mortgages, excuse me, is going up. There's always somebody looking for a piece of you. I urge you to leave a little bit of space for God. To remind yourself of the great things that he has for us. To give him that little bit of time. And see if you don't have enough time for everything that you need to do. You might not get to do all that you want to do whenever you're serving God, but you'll get to do everything you need to do. God really loves you, and he has so much there for us. But the way many of us as Christians behave is like going to war as a soldier and forgetting how to fire a rifle, or forgetting how to heat up our food. It just makes no sense whatsoever. Don't forget the things that God has done for you and has for you. Yes, there's a bit of work involved, but it's good work. You will enjoy it all the more for God. Thank you for giving me that little bit of your time. For your patience, that's one of the virtues, isn't it? For your patience and understanding, I appreciate that. We're going to sing a hymn by way of closing. If I can just find it here. Yep. Number 51 in the big book. We're going to sing hymn number 51 in the big book. It is called "Where We'll Never Grow Old." If you're able, we will stand as we sing.
Bye.
much. God bless you. Thank you for your good time and attention this morning. A safe journey home for you. And look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. Amen. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a wee prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you. We still have the freedom to meet together, to ask questions, and to hear what you have to say about it. Please bless us as we part company. Please be with our absent brethren. And Lord, we love you and thank you. Please see us safely home. Lord, don't be done with us. Please, Lord, please be in the business of saving souls. Please, especially today, be with the families of those folks in Moscow that lost loved ones, and Lord, with those that are fighting for their lives, even now. For the men and women in Ukraine, and the Russians there too, that are being sent to war by men and branch, and armchairs, Lord, and especially, Lord, please bless and protect Israel at this time, Lord. We love you and praise you, and we ask for these things, Lord, as well as our private prayer requests. Lord, that you would go before us and fight many battles before us. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. We're dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.